Thank you for tuning in and listening to Kumasan, a fantasy fiction story podcast. This style of podcast harkens back to old-fashioned radio dramas, blended with the rich storytelling of an audiobook. Kumasan is an ongoing weekly series, so it's recommended that you begin listening with episode 1 and continue from there. Kumasan depicts fictional violence and features mature language. Listener and parental discretion is advised. Previously on Kumasan, all Vos Tarn Corps returned to the battlefield in the north woods of central Pojakar, killing off all 18 of the captains and generals of the Kraltsaren army, becoming the supreme Kraltsaren lord Blackwing in the process. Taking his father's advisor Varilsk as his own, he commands him to begin immediate construction of the new Kraltsar stronghold, the Iron Fortress. Also in Pojakar, high atop Mount Visokayagora, Douglas Johns awakens from his decades-long slumber. Finding warmth and shelter in a mountain cave, he is confronted by a shape-shifting Sibirlo, whom he eventually gets the better of, but not before having his face irreversibly disfigured. Following the fight in the cave, Douglas Johns falls fast asleep as a roving band of even more Sibirlo gather around him in the darkness. This week, we return to northern Pojakar as the dark hands of fate and the unforgiving governance of prophecy continue moving the evil Lord Blackwing towards his destiny. Blackwing and his advisor Varilsk were strolling around the former campsite of the Kraltsaren army, where construction of the new Kraltsar stronghold, the Iron Fortress, had been going on for days. The buildings were constructed of massive logs, culled from the readily available blackwood trees that grew abundantly here in the north woods of Pojakatil lands. The blackwood was indeed as black as a starless sky, and this dark aesthetic perfectly mirrored the evil will of those who now resided there. The blackened wood-shingled roofs of each building were interrupted frequently by rising black spires, and each iron door was designed to look like the mouth of massive black skulls.
Out there, my lord, there are old barracks for the men. And look here, my lord, this I think you will enjoy. It's a massive fighting pit, a combat area, if you will. The sport of which I think will bring my lord great amusement.
That is a great idea, Varilsk. Well done.
And look yonder, my lord, largest building there, already completed. I call it Blackwing Hall. Grandiosity and design befitting the stature of his namesake. I hope my lord is pleased with progress thus far?
I am indeed. Splendid work, Varilsk. Let us now turn our attention toward matters outside the Iron Fortress.
Well, certainly. Follow me this way, my lord.
Varilsk led Blackwing to the far side of the Iron Fortress and into a rather large building, where scores of Kraltsaren men stood at full attention, awaiting their lord's arrival.
These are the balance of Krausars who stand at your command, excluding the ones outside providing labor. The men work in shifts. Every Krausar here will feel the pride of swinging the hammer to build a great fortress of iron.
Outstanding. Well done. Have you selected the one who will command my detachment in my stead?
Aye, my lord. It is I who have been selected to lead by your hand.
What is your name, soldier?
Adric, my lord.
May I ask, Adric, how did you win the favor of my advisor?
I bested 5 fellow kinsmen and a full-grown adult Trauntzun in the battle arena, my lord. But let me say, this in and of itself does not tell the entire story of Adric. In battle, I often won the favor of the other men around me, as well as the favor of my captain and general. It followed that I won the favor of Advisor Verusk as well. I am a confident and decisive soldier, with a good head for tactics. I'm sure in short order I will win your favor as well, Lord Blackwing.
This is all true, my lord.
Very well, Adric. You will serve as my high commander for now. Unless you give me reason to determine otherwise.
You will have no doubts about me, my lord. I can assure you of that.
Half of you will ride with me to Krautsaw, where we will tidy up loose ends in the homelands. The rest of you will go west into Cibolo lands with your new High Commander, Adric. We will reconvene back here in 2 weeks' time, when Virilsk has completed the Iron Fortress. Adric, you may have first selection of the men to ride at your command, and I will take the rest with me to Krautsaw. My goal is to gather as many more able-bodied Krautsaren men into our fold as I can find. You and your detachment will go westward and capture as many Cibolo as you can find, and return them here to kneel before me. Those wild, shape-shifting bastards will be most useful under our command.
Yes, my lord, as you wish.
One of the soldiers in attendance slowly approached Blackwing and Adric with a concerned look upon his face.
Cibolo lands, my lord?
Does this prospect frighten you, soldier? It seems as if it does.
No, Commander Adric. I was just making sure I heard the plan correctly.
Fear may very well be our greatest, and certainly by our Lord's hand, only enemy. Thusly, fear will not be tolerated here. Line up at attention, so I may select those who fear not to serve their Dark Lord, Blackwing.
Commander Adric, my favor has already been won.
As Adric and his men rode west into Cibolo lands, Blackwing and his men went southward, systematically sweeping all the houses of Kraltzar, saving his own house, the House of Harnkor, for last. Upon arrival at each house, the evil army was unknowingly greeted with open arms, a costly mistake for the citizens of those ill-fated towns. Blackwing and his men turned every Kraltzarin male old enough to hold a sword into a blue-eyed monster, while those too young were put to death. The women were ravaged and quickly dispatched or enslaved as concubines, and centuries-old objects of wealth were plundered and taken into their own custody. Each town was burned to the ground, erasing eons of Kraltzarin history and reducing the entirety of Kraltzar to a smoldering pile of ash, rubble, and unidentifiable corpses. As the army, now quadrupled in number, arrived in the city belonging to the Harnkors, the exact same twisted fate began anew. As his men carried out unspeakable atrocities within the town, Blackwing himself and a few of the men entered the great halls of his elders.
What under heavens is happening here? Breketon, my husband, is that you?
It is I, mother, your son Alvast. Here, let me remove my helm so you can look upon me.
Alvast? What is happening here? Where is your father, my son, and why do you dare wear his helm? I could see from my window such madness in town. Kraltzarin soldiers raping and killing, burning and looting within our house. And you would lead this insanity willingly? Your father must assuredly be dead for such cowardly things to happen upon Harnkor lands.
It was then that the Lady Agafia Harnkor looked deeply into the glowing blue eyes of her only son Alvast, and was overtaken by the power of the evil blue glow. Falling to her knees, she gazed up at her son in absolute reverence.
I understand, my son. I am at your command.
Blackwing placed his helm back upon his head, his gaze remaining all the while upon the Lady Agafia, the woman who brought him into the world and loved him unconditionally, the woman who'd kept the secret of his cowardice tightly guarded from his father. He stared into her eyes for a great length of time, finally placing his hand upon the hilt of his massive black iron sword. Then he relaxed his grip.
For years, I would spy upon you and your coven of witches. The lot of you plying your dark arts of black magic. Father never knew, but I did. You may rise and gather them all to you now. You may all be of great value to me in the days to come.
Do as I command. Do it quickly. You will ride with us back to the Iron Fortress and serve me. There will remain nothing of House Harncourt once we leave this place.
As you command, my lord.
As Lady Agafia Harncourt departed to gather her sister witches, Blackwing roamed the great hall of House Harncourt, finding the massive marble statue of his father, the late Lord General Breakerton. Flying into an unhinged rage, he unsheathed his gargantuan sword and quickly reduced the monument to mere rubble. He did the same to every painting of his father he could find. Within 20 minutes' time, nothing of the once great Slayer of Kralsar remained, but the very house that the Harncourt clan had built for themselves eons before. And that, too, was nothing more than a raging blaze of fire and smoke mere moments afterward. With his back to the burning building, Blackwing found his way to the small outcropping of stables down the hill. Entering one of the stables, he made his way through the blackness towards the far corner. The deep, unmistakable growl of a giant black wolf cut through the darkness. In the ears of a lesser man, the sound would have sent them running in fear. But the owner of this ferocious warning was precisely who Blackwing had come to find.
Oh, it has been years, my friend. Far too long. My father, in his cruel spite, kept us apart. But I have returned for you, Momdarek. It is I, your boy, Alvast.
Angry yellow eyes shone forth brightly in the pitch black of the room, inching slowly towards the boy in the black iron armor, the growl slowly diminishing as it did so. Blackwing could hear the clinking of iron chains as it moved forward.
Alvast. It is you. Your father has kept us apart for sure, kept me chained here for years. It is only the kindness of your mother that has kept me here alive and fed. I don't thank her for that. I thought you had forgotten me.
No, Momdarek. I have never forgotten you, my childhood pet. As a matter of fact, my chief reason for returning here was to reunite with you. I would like you to come with me. My father is dead. You needn't fear him further.
Yes, I smell his teeth upon you. I also smell... I smell something within you has changed. Something...
you last. Together, we shall do great things.
Blackwing released Mom Derek from his years-long bondage and climbed upon his back. His men were all gathered amongst the smoldering ruins of House Harncourt and were taken aback by the sight of the pair as they galloped quickly up the hill towards them. One by one, they followed Blackwing and Mom Derek, headed once again to the North Woods, to the Iron Fortress, his mother and her witches, and nearly 1,000 bloodthirsty Kraltsaren soldiers, all under the blue-eyed command of their new Dark Lord, Blackwing. While Blackwing and his men stormed across Kraltsar, Adric and his men had spent the same time scouring across the inhospitable, frozen lands of the Sibilo, towing scores of cage carts behind their manned Klesiast horses. The Kraltsars had managed to either recruit or capture hundreds of those savage creatures, or otherwise kill those who refused to comply with either plan. Despite the fact that there existed so many shapeshifters and shadow skulkers among the Sibilo, they proved to be no match in the end for the militaristic might and training of their Kraltsar captors. Adric and his men were currently making their way into yet another nondescript Sibilo village, one that sat frozenly under the shadow of the great Mount Visokaya Gora. Like so many before, the village was a hodgepodge of slapdash dwellings constructed from the few lightweight Muramesque trees that grew around the area and the abundant furs of the animals that also served as their primary food source. The imprisoned Sibilo inside the prisoner carts grunted and howled wildly to their as of yet uncaptured kinsmen. The Kraltsar couldn't tell if these outbursts were warnings or cries of encouragement to surrender peacefully, but their captors were quick to beat them ferociously into submissive silence just the same. As Adric himself dismounted from his Klesiast, he was immediately greeted by one of the wild Sibilo, who quickly darted from side to side, hunched forward with its knuckles planted deep into the snow as if it were walking on all fours like an animal. It came close enough to Adric to speak and be heard, but not close enough to be in harm's immediate way. Like the rest of its kin, its skin was nearly transparent, bluish in hue. Its stringy white hair grew oddly in patches upon its head, the ends dragging the ground as it moved. Around its neck, it wore a Pojkatil skull flanked by smaller animal skulls. Aside from this adornment, it was entirely nude, obviously well-suited for the extreme conditions of its own environment. It sniffed the air between itself and Adric, its eyes beneath its arched brows, an odd mixture of distrust and cannibalistic lust and hunger. Thick, viscous saliva spilled from its clenched, needle-like teeth. Teeth that gnashed harshly as it spoke.
My family call out to me. They say you metal men, you Kralzar, want us to join army. They say you want Sibilo to help destroy Bolkadir. We like taste of Bolkadir mans. So we come with you. We'll fight with you. If we can taste Bolkadir meats.
Adric turned and eyed some of his closest men. Despite the evil now inside them and the toughness that was bred into them from birth, they could not hide the horrified look they now all shared. Any single Kraltsaren soldier could easily recount a myriad of atrocities committed in the course of battle. But the savage act of eating another man was certainly not among them.
That is a good thing. We will take you and your kinsmen back to our Iron Fortress. You will be inducted into our army by our Lord Blackwing upon our arrival.
I not understand all your words. But understand enough. We have a deal. We fight for you. You feed us delicious Bolkadir meats.
Yes. You have my word, my savage friend. All the Bolkadir meat you can fit into your bellies. For many months to come.
Goodness. Many goodness. Deal then.
The Sibilo leader turned away from Adric and his men, beckoning with his hands for them to follow him.
Hey! You! Where are you going?
Come this way. Much meat for your hungers. Metal men must have great hungers. Long travel. Lots of hungers.
The cluster of Sibilo in the village welcomed Adric and his men to feast with them, offering what they could of their meager assortment of wild game. Knowing no fire among their people, the wild savages gawked, wide-eyed, as the Kraltsar soldiers built makeshift spits and cooked the meat offered to them, while conversely, the Kraltsar soldiers watched curiously as the Sibilo devoured their meals raw, eaten straight off the bones of skinned animals. As the two races dined together and celebrated their newly minted accord, Adric took the opportunity to speak further with the leader, gleaning as much knowledge as he could from the dim-witted savage.
So, are you yourself a shapeshifter?
The Cibolo man raised its shoulders and stared blankly with a look of confusion, its deep-set brow furrowed.
Can you take the form of a bear or a wolf? A hawk, perhaps?
The lanky savage got to its feet, resting upon its haunches. Its face turned quickly to a menacing snarl as the area of its nose and mouth began to elongate into a muzzle, the entirety of its body morphing in shape and quickly sprouting dark brown fur. Within mere seconds, the Cibolo man before Adric was now a fully formed wolf. Also getting to his feet, Adric quickly backed away several paces and realized the entire village of Cibolo had instinctively followed suit, and he and his men were now surrounded entirely by dozens of snarling, growling wolves. The Cibolo behind them, who were caged inside the prisoner carts, began howling and leaping about, clearly excited by what was happening. The Kraltsaren soldiers, Adric included, withdrew their swords and readied themselves for attack. But no attack came. The wolves that now encircled them merely laid themselves prostrate in the snow, heads lowered, their body language conveying a posture of submissiveness. Within a few meager moments, all the wolves had returned to Cibolo form, all returning to a seated position, upon which they simply picked up their meals and continued eating, and then began laughing and smiling, pointing to the unfinished meals of their guests, beckoning them to finish. At the command of Adric, the soldiers replaced their swords and continued to eat.
This lot will serve us well, I believe.
After some time had passed, a couple of Adric's men came around the corner of one of the Cibolo huts, carrying what appeared to be a large, muscular man. The man was gagged and bound with ropes, so much so that he had to be carried between the two that found him. Adric could not readily place the man's race or origin, but he was not from Pojakar. That was clear enough. The man was dressed heavily in dark gray bear fur and had the head of a bear pulled tightly over his face. Perplexed, Adric turned to the Cibolo leader with an inquisitive stare. He saw a look of shock mixed with anger upon the savage's face at the sight of this discovery. He began hopping up and down excitedly as he barked loudly at the two soldiers carrying the odd man.
Commander Adric, we found this one tied up and hidden inside of one of the larger huts. What would you have us do with him?
Our man, new meat for Cibolo. Our man, not meet the Metal Man.
Adric looked the bound man over carefully and shot a look towards the angered Sibilo Leda.
Calm yourself, my wild friend. Our deal was for Pozhgatil meat, and the deal has already been struck. A deal is a deal. This is the custom of civilized men. Tell me, where did you find this odd man?
The Sibilo Leda, still agitated by the discovery of his prized treasure, pointed skyward toward the top of Mount Visokayagora.
Up in cave, on mountain, but man is ours, our meat.
Adric glanced over the strange, bare-headed man for a few moments longer, then turned back toward the Sibilo leader.
I'm taking this man with us. My lord, your lord, may have use for him. His size is not far from our own. He may prove a valuable soldier, or at the very least, a valuable slave. If neither proves to be true, you have my word. You can have his meat. I'm afraid that's the best deal I can make to you, on top of what we've already agreed to. We will make the journey to the Iron Fortress in the same cart as you. I will entrust his safe passage to you specifically. If he is harmed in any manner, I will kill you and your people slowly, in unthinkable ways. Do you understand?
Sibilo understands.
With the mysterious bare-headed man now in the possession of the Kral-Tsar, Adric and his men, along with the entirety of the usurped Sibilo savages, began the journey east back to the waiting gates of the now completed Iron Fortress.